Good evening. God bless you. Let's take our Bibles and go to 1 John chapter 1 tonight. The great truths of God's Word are very logical. They're very clear. And most of all, they're true. There's different means of science that people use to try to understand the universe. Carol was talking with some of you earlier about an astrophysicist that had certain theories that he might come up with and prove and see certain patterns in science, whether it's in nature or mathematics, other scientific inquiry. But there is also a science of history. And the science of history is based on legal evidential proof. In other words, evidence of testimony. And there's certain criteria that must be used to evaluate whether it's accurate or not. You know, kind of bottom line is the trustworthiness of the testimony of the witness. But a credible witness is proven to be honest and capable, contemporary to the event that he is testifying about. And most significant, what is given the greatest priority for the trustworthy of a witness is that he is an eyewitness. In other words, that he actually saw or experienced, what he's giving testimony about. Just like, in a court of law. Well, the men and women that are recorded in the Bible concerning the resurrection of Jesus Christ, one thing that we'll see tonight is they keep coming back to the fact of their eyewitness testimony. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life." These are things that John and the other apostles saw, they heard, their hands handled concerning the word of life. Verse 3, it says, "That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you." So great priority, preeminence on that which they had seen and heard. Look at the Gospel of John, chapter 19. John chapter 19, in verse 35, it says, "And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knows that he says true, that ye might do what? Believe." That which they saw, they saw truly, they reported it truly, and it was given so that you might believe. Look at Acts chapter 4. This is very consistent testimony of the disciples and the apostles of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 4, in verse 20, it says, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and what? Heard." Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, after Jesus Christ's ascension, Judas Iscariot goes out and commits suicide, and Peter decides that they're going to elect a successor to Judas Iscariot. And here's the criteria given in verse 21. It says, "Wherefore of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. So this is the criteria that was given to elect this 12th apostle to succeed Judas Iscariot. One who had accompanied about with them, that been with Jesus when as he went in and out among us from the baptism of John until the day of the ascension, and most specifically that he be a witness of the resurrection. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. As we saw last Sunday, the resurrection of Christ is the focal point of Christianity. It's the focal point of human history. It's the most significant event, and it's the basis of our salvation. It's the absolute requirement to believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Well, all of these people laid eyeballs on him. All of them saw him in his resurrected body. And it's very interesting because that includes Paul. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. It says, verse 1, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are ye not yet my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you, for the seal of my apostleship are ye in the Lord. So the Apostle Paul is making the argument that part of what makes him an apostle is that he saw the Lord. Now, he did not see the Lord on earth. He wasn't one that accompanied about like we read in Acts chapter 1 with Jesus Christ. But he did see Jesus Christ revealed to him as he traveled on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9. And that here is given as one of his credentials for being an apostle, is that he had seen the Lord. Look at Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. It says in verse 1, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of these things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things, from the very first, or from above, to write unto thee in order, most Theophilus, that ye might know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Once again, tied back to being an eyewitness. Look at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. You know, I mentioned the science of history. Part of the science of history is that if you have eyewitnesses that agree about a particular event that happened, then let's say you have two eyewitnesses whose testimony match. If that's the case, then the probability of that being true is not simply doubled, but it's squared. It's geometric. So if you have three, it's to the third power. It gets to be very interesting when it comes to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Look at Acts chapter 1. It says, to whom, verse 3, this is referring to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them, how many days? 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So between the time of the resurrection and the ascension is 40 days, and during those 40 days, Jesus Christ showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. And the word infallible means incapable of erring. In other words, it's the absolute certainty. He did it repeatedly over those 40 days. Now, how many times Jesus Christ appeared to his followers, I don't know. But I do know that there are nine different incidents that are recorded in the Bible in during those 40 days. Now, if you want to add in his appearing to Paul later in Acts chapter 9, that would make 10 appearances that are recorded in the Word. But there's nine during these 40 days by which he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. Now, five of them are listed in 1 Corinthians 15. Let's go there. And this will give you a framework of being able to see and understand all nine of these resurrection appearances. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we handled this on Sunday. I don't think it's going to hurt any of us to go over it again. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 3, it says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas." He was seen of Cephas, that's Peter. It's the first resurrection appearance mentioned here. Now, that is not the first resurrection appearance of Jesus Christ to human beings. As we saw on Sunday, it was he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. So the first resurrection appearance is to Mary Magdalene, and that's recorded in John chapter 20 and also Mark chapter 16. It's not mentioned here. But then he appeared, the second resurrection appearance recorded in the Bible is to Peter, to Cephas, as recorded here. And that happened sometime in Luke chapter 24, between verse 12 and verse 33 through 35. So if you want to take notes, this could be a very wonderful study. So he first appeared to Mary Magdalene, then he appeared to Peter. And then the third resurrection appearance of Jesus Christ is not recorded here in 1 Corinthians 15, but it was to the two on the road to Emmaus, Cleopas and another disciple. And that's a rather lengthy section in the Gospel of Luke, and it's also recorded in Mark chapter 16. And then the next resurrection appearance, the fourth resurrection appearance, again, not recorded here in 1 Corinthians 15, is two assembled disciples, which included 11 apostles. Now, a lot of times when people read that 11, they think that it's Judas Iscariot who's not there, but Judas was there, and the one who was missing was Thomas, you know, the guy called Doubting Thomas, Thomas of Didymus, was missing. And that's recorded in all four of the Gospels, his appearance to assembled disciples, including 11 apostles. Now, the next one, the fifth resurrection appearance, is recorded here in 1 Corinthians 15. It says, verse 5 again, "And that he was seen of Cephas," that's the second resurrection appearance, and then there's two others, "then of the 12. And this is 12 on a mountain in Galilee. It's recorded in Matthew 28, John 20, and of course here in 1 Corinthians 15. Then the next resurrection appearance was to seven disciples, and that's in John 21. Keep your finger here. Let's go to John 21 for a second. One of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible, John chapter 21. It says in verse 1, "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. So the first five mentioned there were apostles of Jesus Christ, and then two other of his disciples. And this is, you know, after Peter and some of these guys have gotten a little off track, they've kind of returned to the fishing business, they sort of forgot the priority that Jesus had raised them up for. And so Jesus Christ very lovingly reproves them and gets them back on track so that they can serve the word of God to people. Great, great resurrection appearance. But that's the sixth one that's recorded in the Bible. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 15. Here perhaps is one of the most amazing statements in this whole study. In verse 6, it says, after that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. Look at that. He appeared in his resurrection body to a gathering of above 500 people. 500 people at once. You know, there's nothing in the Word of God that indicates that any of these people were delusional, that they were taking psychedelic drugs, that there was anything, you know, unusual about them. These are just common folks. These are fishermen. These are the people that were following Jesus Christ. But yet they all concur on one thing, that Jesus Christ got up from the dead. They saw him in his resurrected body. They were eyewitnesses. About 500 people at once. How about that? And then there's two more that are mentioned here. Verse 7, it says, after that he was seen of James. So that's the eighth recorded resurrection appearance of Jesus Christ in the Bible. And then it says, then of all the apostles. That's the ninth one. All the apostles. So there's five listed here, and then there's four given in other scriptures that you can put together by scripture buildup. This last one, it says, then of all the apostles. This fits quite accurately with being the day of the ascension, that all 12 of the apostles were present on the day of the ascension. They all saw him go up. It was after that that Judas went out and eliminated him himself. But what a wonderful record God gives us of these eyewitness testimonies. Now let's go to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. There's a little more to this. In verse 29, it says, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be the prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. You know, the word witness in Old English comes from the word to wit, which means to know. A witness is somebody who knows something. A witness is somebody who produces evidence. You know, we are his witnesses of these things. And then look what verse 32 adds. It says, and so is also the Holy Spirit, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Look at that. There's another witness given, and the witness is the witness of Holy Spirit. It's the witness that the 12 apostles brought forth on the day of Pentecost. It's the witness that we have. You know, God has not left himself without witness. We are witnesses of these things. And we have the proof. We know. We can produce the evidence. And the evidence is when we speak in tongues. Because when you speak in tongues, it's proof of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's proof that what the Word of God says about Christ is true. It's proof that you have been given the gift of Holy Spirit. Look at 1 John chapter 5. You know, our God is so terrific, so intelligent, so awesome, that if it was just left to eyewitnesses, people that had laid eyeballs on Jesus Christ, then what happens when all that generation of people die? Then all the witness is gone. But now there is a witness, and there is the witness of Holy Spirit that God has given to us because we have believed concerning his Son. And this is discussed here in 1 John chapter 5. It says in verse 9, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is what? Greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believes on the Son of God hath the witness where? In himself. Hath the witness where? In himself. Well, what's in every born-again one? The gift of Holy Spirit, giving you the potential to produce evidence of Christ's resurrection. To know that you know that you know that you're born again of God's Spirit. He that believes on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believes not God hath made him a liar, because he believes not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Boy, God has not left himself without witness. We are all witnesses of the resurrected Christ. We are all witnesses that the Bible is true, and we all have the proof of the gift of Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ came to make available. So what tremendous accuracy there is in God's word, of God giving testimony and producing evidence of what he has done through his Son so that we can all believe. Heavenly Father, thank you for the proof of the resurrection, that, Father, that the many, many men that and women that lived during the first century laid eyeballs on Jesus Christ in these resurrection appearances. But, Father, that we too have the proof of the resurrection, because we have the gift of Holy Spirit and we have the proof of eternal life. So, Father, thank you for this, for enlightened understanding for each one, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.